Talk Back with Gary Null, Sundays at 8 p.m. on the Progressive Radio Network.
Oh, a happy day.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to this program. Today, this hour, all about health and healing. Special insights. In-depth insights into improving our brain, especially if you've had any form of injury. And we're going to look at a specific nutrient, progesterone, and research from Dr. Donald Stein, Life Extension. Then what happens when we get stressed for any reason, and we live with that on a chronic day-to-day basis? Cortisol, stress, and your health. What can we do about it? How can we turn it around? How can we check the cortisol to prevent illnesses and slow down the aging process? Very important original work from Dr. Edward Rosick. Why people are aging faster than they should? What role does depression, fatigue, and even being overweight have to do with this? A special commentary from Bill Falloon. During this hour, I'll be giving you insights and sharing positive life-affirming information. All of my information is based upon credible science. I will always cite references from peer-reviewed literature. I will show the most important institutions are doing this work, and so therefore it is something that we can rely upon. It's not just my opinion. Also, we'll be taking calls throughout the entire program. No guest, no commentaries, no issues, anything that you would like to discuss that is relevant to you. I do try to take some calls every single day. I broadcast 15 hours a week live from wherever I'm at around the United States, currently on the road filming. I'm filming no less than 5 separate important documentaries. 4 of which I cannot discuss because they're of a very sensitive nature, and I don't want to in any way have what I'm doing sabotaged by having people who monitor my show say, oh, we better contact certain industries or certain people to make sure that they don't give interviews. This way I can get important first-person discussion, and I'm getting some very important material. The one documentary I can tell you I am doing is called Poverty Inc., and every day brings different insights. For the last 3 days, I have spent time with 2 single families living together with a total of 5 children from 10 to 18 years of age, and what it's like where the parents, college educated, having what would be considered a very nice lifestyle, and today they're living in abject poverty. And how do they cope? So I'm spending quality time. In fact, after this broadcast, I'll be doing additional interviews and discussions and filming probably for the next 2 to 3 hours because I want to see from beginning to end of a day, how do they plan their day? What do they do? If they have no food in a fridge, how do they go about getting that food? What are the needs of a teenager who has to cope with a lifestyle and a standard of living that's been turned inside out from what they were used to? How do their friends approach them? Are they still the same friends with the same people, or has that changed based upon their circumstances changing? There is so much material that I'm filming, it is simply not possible to do a 1.5 hour feature film. I will do that, but I intend to expand this to be closer to, right now, 26 1 hours to be shown each week in the United States on television as a series, and it may even go as many as 52 weeks. Lots of good material. To give you an idea of how important it is, one short segment of an hour interview with one man known as the Wolf of Wall Street. In fact, there's a new film, I believe, by starring Leonardo DiCaprio doing the role of this man. And this was the last interview he was allowed to do prior to the film being done. In fact, I'm the only interview that was filmed that he did. So I took 6.5 minutes of this hour and 20-minute interview with him film to show you what it's like behind the scenes on Wall Street. You watch this man, you listen to what he has to say, and you think, it's not possible. Oh yeah, it happened and is happening. You can go to progressiveradionetwork.com or garynall.com to take a look at that. I'm also putting up interviews prior to putting them in my documentaries, like the latest in Dr. Sherry Timpenny on a new vaccine documentary I'm doing. New information on AIDS that is out there. On why, as a society, we're incapable. And this whole documentary is on one issue only. I've done 6 documentaries on AIDS, and this had to be completely different based upon what have we learned or not learned. It's no longer about science. We have the science to show and prove unequivocally that everything we're calling AIDS is due to other conditions, and that the entire war on AIDS is complete and total scientific fraud. But so gigantic of a fraud, and so expensive, so much money being made, so many reputations being affected, that we cannot now or at any time in the future accept that we did it all wrong. So this whole documentary is about how we live as a society in individual and collective denial. And then we're going to use some historical precedents for this. And then I'll have some of the leading scientists, Nobel Prize winners, great men and women of science, discussing this whole aspect, the ethics of denial, a different concept. Anyhow, some of that interview's up there, so we have a lot of different interview. In fact, every single day we're putting new material up there for you to see on our Gary Knoll Facebook page. So tomorrow we'll have 2 new interviews up there. So go up and check it out for yourself. Now let's begin. Most of my clinical research and the important work with people one-on-one has been on understanding what causes a person to age prematurely and helping them control those factors. Just this week, starting our second month into our 6-month health support group on anti-aging, we found that a very high percentage are sticking with it. Very high. In fact, probably the highest we've had in 15 years. And when you hear people at the beginning of a program say, I have more energy, I'm sleeping better, I have less digestive distress, I no longer have that fatigue, my moods are improving, and my muscles are stronger. Now, this is only after about 5 to 6 weeks. So imagine what could happen for a person that really changes. Well, one aspect of aging is serotonin. Now, we never think about serotonin. It comes up in no conversation. But serotonin is a compound in the brain that promotes the feeling of personal security, relaxation, and confidence. Now, if you're deficient in serotonin, you can end up with sleep disturbances and anxiety and depression and a propensity to overeat, particularly carbohydrates like simple sugars. There's new research that reveals that serotonin levels decline as we get older, after the age of 27. You're actually in aging, advanced aging, at age 27. Now, these findings provide a biochemical rationale to explain common age-related disorders such as depressed mood, sleep difficulties, and based upon these discoveries, aging people may appreciably improve their health by restoring serotonin to youthful levels. Now, how would I go about doing that? Well, the first thing I would do, I would suggest the amino acid tryptophan. Trip, T-R-Y-P-T-O-P-H-A-N, tryptophan. It's needed to produce serotonin in the brain. And while the amount of tryptophan in a typical diet, it's just bare minimum to cause a metabolic requirement threshold, it almost always fails to provide optimal brain serotonin levels. And ever since the FDA restricted the importation of tryptophan for use in dietary supplements, there's been an upsurge in the percentage of overweight and obese Americans. I believe this is partly the reason why. Now, you could argue that a widespread serotonin deficiency is at least partially responsible for the record number of depressed and sleep-deprived and overweight individuals in the United States, and I think that's legitimate. Now, why would dietary tryptophan be inadequate? Now, here's where a little bit of nutritional biochemistry is important, because tryptophan is one of the eight essential amino acids found in the human diet. Now, essential amino acids are defined as those that cannot be made in the body and therefore must be obtained from food or supplements. Now, there is a ninth amino acid called histidine, and it's sometimes considered essential for children. Our bodies do need additional amino acids, but these other amino acids are made from the eight essential amino acids when we're in optimal health. Now, in any normal diet, whether it's omnivore or vegetarian, tryptophan is the least plentiful of all the amino acids. A typical diet provides about 1,300 milligrams of tryptophan per day, and yet there is much competition in the body for this scarce tryptophan. Tryptophan is used to make various protein structures in the body. In people with low to moderate intake of vitamin B3, that's niacin, tryptophan may be used to make vitamin B3 in the liver, as the astounding ratio of 60 milligrams of tryptophan to make 1 milligram of B3. Yet even maintaining a minute amount of tryptophan provides a little benefit in boosting serotonin in the brain due to the competition with other amino acids for transport through the blood-brain barrier. Nutrients must be taken through the blood-brain barrier by transport molecules, like a little train that goes through. And tryptophan competes with these transport molecules with other amino acids. Well, as you could probably see, diet-derived tryptophan contributes very little actual tryptophan to the brain. And even eating tryptophan-containing foods doesn't provide enough tryptophan. And so one reason is that aging people make enzymes that rapidly degrade tryptophan in the body. Now, the human body requires eight amino acids: threonine, valine, isoleucine, leucine, phenylalanine, methionine, lysine, and tryptophan. And remember, tryptophan is the only normal dietary raw material for serotonin synthesis in the brain. Now, given all that we know about the difficulty of maintaining adequate tryptophan status, is it any wonder that so many aging humans suffer from disorders such as depression and insomnia, and even excess weight gain associated with serotonin deficiency? I just believe that an awful lot of people in our society are tryptophan deficient and hence serotonin imbalanced, and that can lead to depression. Let me just take a little bit further in this biochemistry on showing you how tryptophan functions in the body. L-tryptophan converts into serotonin. Now, primarily, that happens in the brain. And since serotonin is a neurotransmitter involved in controlling moods and appetite, tryptophan supplementation has been recommended for individuals suffering from, decreased serotonin levels, sleep disorders, depression, fibromyalgia, and eating disorders. It's been shown in human clinical studies that low levels of tryptophan contribute to insomnia. So increasing tryptophan might help you normalize sleep patterns. It's known that raising tryptophan levels in the body may decrease cravings and binge eating, especially for carbohydrates, and help people lose weight. And L-tryptophan serves as a precursor not only to serotonin, but also melatonin and niacin. So serotonin is a major neurotransmitter involved in many somatic and behavioral functions, including mood, appetite and eating disorders, and sleep and anxiety, and endocrine regulation. Now, there are two possible sources of L-tryptophan: the diet and tissue proteins from which L-tryptophan has been recycled during protein turnover. As you age, as you have any form of chronic inflammatory disease, tryptophan depletion, even in the absence of dietary tryptophan, is almost certain. An average adult male needs 250 milligrams a day of tryptophan just to maintain nitrogen balance. A normal diet contains about 1,300 milligrams, as I mentioned a moment ago, and the enzymatic breakdown of tryptophan increases with age, and certain disease rates can severely deplete protein or tryptophan. There are three potential fates to L-tryptophan once you take it into your body. It's incorporated into the body tissue proteins, conversion into serotonin and melatonin, and conversion into carbon dioxide, water, and adenosine triphosphate, ATP, and niacin. Now, for every nutrient absorbed into the body, there are specific enzymes that convert that nutrient into their substances. There are two specific enzymes that can deprive the body of sufficient amounts of L-tryptophan. And one is called L-tryptophan 2,3-dioxygenase. And I won't go through all this. This is not as important in the biochemistry. Let me just state that you need tryptophan. Now, one of the ways that we can get L-tryptophan is we can take a substance called 5-HTP. And HTP then will give you serotonin. And therefore, I think that we should be taking this into our system on a daily basis. So that's the latest on just one way of getting better functioning, and then how to produce, that's just tryptophan. But tryptophan's not the only way we can help an aging brain. Then we have some neuroprotective compounds that promote healthy cognitive function. There was an Israeli clinical study that showed a high degree of efficacy and safety of ingredients by showing a significant improvement in neurological function known to deteriorate as we age. Now, let's examine some of these natural ingredients to understand how they protect against cognitive decline and restore healthy brain function. And these are properties that may help prevent or forestall the neurodegenerative processes that lead to dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, etc. Another superstar, so we're setting aside tryptophan for a moment. I think we got that. Now let's go to alpha-glycerylphosphorylcholine, or GPC. Alpha-glycerylphosphorylcholine synthesis is an essential neurotransmitter. It boosts memory. It can forestall and stabilize, even partially reverse, cognitive impairment in the early stages of senile dementia. It's present in all the cells of the body and in human breast milk. And studies show that that taking this nutrient increases brain levels of acetylcholine, which is known to improve cognitive function. And it also plays an important role in nerve cell growth and repair and improving learning and memory, and that's important. So when patients have been given this, especially those who suffer from recent stroke or a transient ischemic attack, that's a mild form of stroke, and they gave 1,000 milligrams of intramuscular GPC for 28 days, or orally at 400 milligrams 3 times a day, for 5 months, they found substantial cognitive recovery. So put that up on your superstar list, along with tryptophan. Now we have AGP. A is for alpha, G is for glycerol, P is for phosphoryl, and C is for choline. Alpha-glycerol, phosphorylcholine. Then add another one, phosphatidylserine, or make it simple, PS. It's ubiquitous. It's a phospholipid found within the inner cell membranes that regulate a variety of neuroendocrine responses, including the release of acetylcholine and dopamine and noradrenaline. So phosphatidylserine has the ability to influence tissue responses to inflammation. That's good, because almost everything the average person consumes, from coffee to soft drinks to alcohol to fried food and processed food, causes inflammation, including inflammation in the brain. And heavy metals cause inflammation in the brain. So, in effect, phosphatidylserine is a very good antioxidant. And studies have shown that by stimulating production of acetylcholine, phosphatidylserine can improve the condition of patients experience aging-related memory impairment and cognitive decline. Virtually all the people that I'm working with who have any form of Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, multiple sclerosis, memory loss, I make sure that they're on a very good diet and supplementing with phosphatidylserine, alpha-glycerol, phosphorylcholine, tryptophan. Here's what you need to know in just plain lay language. As we age, we become increasingly vulnerable to brain aging and its consequences, including impaired memory and progressive loss of cognitive function, and that can lead to dementia and Alzheimer's. So maintaining a good mental health throughout life requires early intervention and the moment any symptom shows. A proactive and preventive approach would be to try multiple natural dietary and nutrient approaches. And then I think we can be realistic in saying that there's no reason that we can't turn a lot of this back. In other words, become much younger in our brain. We can do this. I know we can do it because I've helped people do it. Now, there's another nutrient. It's called vinpocetin. Vinpocetin, V-I-N-P-O-C-E-T-I-N-E. It's derived from the periwinkle flower, Vincia minor, and it's been prescribed in Europe for decades to treat the symptoms of age-related memory impairment. And studies have shown that vinpocetin enhances metabolism, that's good for you, and blood flow, especially to the brain. So that's extremely good for anyone suffering from memory loss or dementia. It stimulates the brain's use of glucose and oxygen by improving poor cerebral blood flow. It also increases electrical conductivity between nerve cells and supports the activity of nerves and pathways related to mental alertness. Quite simply, if you combine this with ginkgo biloba, then vinpocetin speeds the processing of short-term working memory, so you're just quicker remembering things. One study that investigated blood flow in patients with ischemic stroke and mild cognitive impairment found that vinpocetin improved the cerebrovascular blood reserve capacity in patients and favorably influenced the cognitive status of the general condition. So that's all good. Let's add another one while we're at it. How about grape seed extract and soy lecithin phosphatides? Now, what is a phosphatide? Phospho, P-H-O-S-P-H-A-tides, T-I-D-E-S, phosphatides. They come from soy lecithin, and they enhance the uptake and distribution of polyphenols to target a brain tissues. So once in the brain, grape seed proanthocyanidins trap damaging hydroxyl free radicals, the bad hydroxyl free radicals, and they can oxidize DNA and destroy essential brain lipids. And these lipids make up the outer lipid membrane of trillions of brain cells. So grape seed extract, polyphenols, coupled with soy lecithin, improves age-related cognitive deterioration and reduces age-related oxidation and increases cerebral blood flow and helps stop amyloid deposits, which lead to the plaque in your brain. Let's throw in some wild blueberry extract. You can find this in any health food store. You can buy a little package of the wild blueberries, dried, and I take a whole pack at once. I'll just pour the entire pack into a smoothie, blend it up, drink it down. Or wild blueberry concentrate, that's good also, or capsules made from that. However you get it into your system, blueberry anthocyanidins are highly potent antioxidants that possess important neurological properties, such as inducing specific changes in memory centers of the brain that result in an improved cognitive performance. And studies show that blueberry extracts exert the same anti-inflammatory and antioxidant activities as the whole fruit. And the anthocyanidin molecules, they have been shown to cross the blood-brain barrier, making them accessible to neurons and thereby improving memory. If you go up on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, you'll see, or GaryNull.com, you'll see some people. You'll see Kenny, who had full-blown multiple sclerosis, totally cured. You'll see another woman telling their stories, unedited and non-coached, Marie McGovern. Now, these are two, she had advanced end-stage Alzheimer's. She has made probably 90% improvement. Her life is, she's able to conduct a normal functioning life today and still improving. And you can hear her articulate what she couldn't do before. She couldn't feed herself. She couldn't dress. She didn't bathe for months. And she went from her bed to a couch. She said, bed to the couch, bed to the couch. She couldn't do anything else. Couldn't go outside because she couldn't remember where she lived. She couldn't buy anything because she didn't know how to use money. She wouldn't know what to have done with anything had she purchased anything. She wouldn't know how to cook anything. She couldn't juice anything. I mean, you're talking about people can't even tie their shoes. They require 24/7 assistance. Today, not only does she require no assistance, but in spite of the fact that she was in a car accident and nearly killed, that she has suffered multiple injuries in her adult life, any one of those could have been crippling. She still is always getting healthier and better, and a real trooper. Very positive attitude. She's out there helping other people, because many people around the world who've heard me talk about her and seen her up on the website contact her. And as a public service, she reaches out to help them. And by the way, are they the only two? No. We have 1,600, that's 1,600 additional people that who have been filmed, who've reversed end-stage cancers and leukemias. We have all kinds of people with all kinds of conditions that we film. Now, all of them are doing the same identical basic protocol. Eliminate the toxins, enhance a cleansing of the body, then rejuvenate and rebuild. That's the foundation for everything. And trying to get them to have as many good quality anthocyanidin-enriched foods like grapes or grapeseed extract and all the other nutrients I've been mentioning, it doesn't matter whether you have Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, it's going to help you because it turns off inflammation. And what does multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, arthritis, what do they all have in common? Inflammation, cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, inflammation, skin cancers, inflammation. Turn off inflammation and you produce the body's ability to heal itself. So we move from the wild blueberry, which is extremely good in its anti-inflammatory response, because it works. I mean, we actually have the science, because if you eat blueberries, you can significantly lower the levels of what are called nuclear factor kappa B. And when the nuclear factor kappa B levels were lower, you could score higher on memory tests. It's just simple. Then we have a nutrient. It's actually from Ayurvedic, a medicine, it's an Ayurvedic herb called ashwagandha. A-S-H-W-A-G-A-N-D-H-A. Ashwagandha. It helps prevent the breakdown of the brain neurotransmitter acetylcholine. It also has been shown to protect brain regions such as the hippocampus that is vital to memory function. It also helps modulate cortisol so that you're not as stressed. Then you have a building block of phosphatidylcholine called UMP, uridine 5-monophosphate, or make it simple, UMP, which is essential to neuron cell membrane function. And the UMP supports development of vital memory-related brain structures and improves cognitive and memory function in a variety of studies. In fact, one study found that UMP supplements alleviated cognitive dysfunction that affected spatial strategies for tasks solving in environmental environmental study. And then I could add in hops, ginger, rosemary, all very pro-inflammatory, they suppress pro-inflammatory cytokines, turn them off, and they help stop age-related cognitive decline. Rosemary extracts contains what is called carnosic acid, carn, C-A-R-N, O-sic, carnosic acid. And that is a full-faceted protective antioxidant. It really helps your memory. So, I've given you a list of nutrients and the rationale behind them that could help you, really help your brain, and that's important, and all of these are natural. Now, in my next discussion, I'll be talking about natural bioidentical hormones, what they can do, and also then progesterone and what it can do to improve brain function. But I promised I'd be taking calls on any topic that you find important. I'm happy to address these. This is an empowering radio program. I encourage people to share their points of view. We are always looking for ways of growing. And for those of you who've been listening over the years, you know that I am not going to isolate any group of people. I believe everyone deserves a room at the table until you choose not to be there. You'll never be excluded because of your race or ethnicity, your political background or economic or educational status. I believe that that's all just childish, the way that the media pretends to care about people and then segregates the vast majority of people who don't believe in their particular position. Give us a call now at 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. If you can call from anywhere in the United States, or North America and Canada as well. 888-874-4888. I'm Gary Nall. Back in a moment with your calls. Please stay with us.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like,
stop.
Right
on. Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on?
I'd like to welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. This is your time to share your thoughts. Let's go to the United Kingdom, where from Twitter we have, and let me ask our engineer, how did we get Twitter? I'm out on the road, so I'm out of the loop here. If we have a way of people Twittering, which we obviously do, because Milton from the UK asks, are there any good home remedies for kidney stones? I'm going to ask my engineer, how do we get other people to Twitter in so we can take them? Tweet at PRN. Is it PRN Radio? That's it, just PRN Radio? And so underscore, PRN underscore, that means a line at the bottom, then radio. All right, so Twitter at PRN underscore, that's a little line at the bottom, then radio. That way, anywhere in the world right now, you can ask a question. I didn't know that. So good, I'm happy to know this, and And Milton from the UK, thank you for listening in, Milton, and I'll be happy to address your question. Kidney stones, all right? Kidney stones are medically called renal calculi. And what it means in lay language is just a bunch of mineral salts that coagulate and harden, and then they lodge anywhere along the course of your urinary tract. They're extremely painful. And what we frequently don't appreciate is that human urine, because of our diet, is loaded with uric acid and phosphates and calcium oxalate. And if in normal situations, due to the secretion of various compounds and that control the pH of the urine, they kind of stay suspended, not a problem. So when you're having anything that is highly acidic, you are contributing to your kidney stones. One of the worst things you can take in is coffee. Just the whole chemistry of coffee, not just the caffeine, the chemistry of coffee contributes. Colas contribute. Alcohol contributes. And refined carbohydrates contribute. Because crystallize in any of these clumps, and you're going to eventually form stones, and then that's going to restrict the urinary flow. And these stones are not necessarily smooth. They frequently are jagged, and that creates the pain, and it radiates up the whole back of the lower back, and then the abdomen and the groin. And sometimes you get profuse swelling, sometimes blood in the urine, pus in the urine, very strong odor in the urine. A lot of people develop kidney stones at some point in their lives. Probably right now about 35 million Americans in their lifetime will develop kidney stones. That's how bad the American diet is. Now, kidney stones are about 10 times as common now as they were at the start of the 20th century because we have more oxalate acid. Eggs, fish, vegetables contain that. So what do? I first start with a beverage in the morning, a green tea, where I tell them put in some inositol hexaphosphate, IP6, as directed, and then methionine, generally about 500 milligrams, because that reduces the incidence of the kidney stones by destroying free radicals associated with them. Then magnesium citrate at about 700 milligrams, because that reduces calcium from creating urinary oxalate. Then 50 milligrams B-complex three times a day. I'll arginine at 500 milligrams, potassium at 200 to 300 milligrams throughout the day. That inhibits crystallization, which leads to the stone's formation. Lots of proteolytic enzymes and vitamin C that acidifies the urine, and that's what you want because most stones will not form in acidic urine. And then aloe vera juice, ginkgo biloba. I would use lobelia tincture, 4 drops, and wild yam tincture, 20 drops in a glass of that green tea. That relaxes the urethra and relieves spasms of pain and hastens the passing of that. Also, marshmallow root tea is important in uvaurosis. And you could also use gravel root, horsetail, juniper berries, and what's called prince's pine, which is a Pipisissewa. So, lemon juice in water. Take the juice of 5 lemons, including the skin and seed. A little bitter, but boy, is it good. Remember, water dilutes urine, and that helps prevent the concentration of minerals and salts that form stones. Most people are dehydrated. Most people do not have all their juices. So have your juices and help yourself. Milton, hope that helps you, and all the best to you. And thank you for listening and hopefully sharing information with others over there. George from Connecticut. George,
Hi, Gary. I'm wondering if you have any more information. I heard that there's increasing radiation levels in Europe, and I'm wondering if this is some other leak, or is this related to the Japanese leak that's spreading around the world that we have to also be concerned that this is going to be coming our way, or is this some inadvertent leak that they don't even want to tell us about?
Every single nuclear facility has leaks on a daily basis. Remember, at Indian Point, you have 2.5 billion gallons of water per day pulled into a 40-foot wide intake pump that goes through and cools down the spent fuel rods and the nuclear reactor's hot rod and then takes it back out again. That raises the water temperature by about 40 degrees, but they cannot. There is no method to take the radiation isotopes out of the water. So we lose about 2.5 billion fish out of the Hudson each year alone. All nuclear facilities need to be at water level, some at the ocean. So that means that just in the air alone, there's a certain percentage of radiation that's allowed. What they've done is they played this game of saying, as long as the radiation does not reach a certain level, then you're within a safe range. Well, that's an oxymoron. There is no safe level of radiation. There is none. And some of the greatest scientists on nuclear radiation, including Dr. John Goffman, the father of that, one of the discoverers of plutonium, so stated, and he stated to me repeatedly in interviews, not a single X-ray at any time in your life is safe. One X-ray early in life can cause cancer later in life. So when we're looking at Fukushima, we're looking at radiation that is first and foremost really hurting the people in Japan. The trouble is that people are convinced by official gatekeepers that their truth supersedes any other facts. So this week, the Japanese government took a group of journalists dressed in full protective gear, but would not allow them off the bus because it was too dangerous. And yet they showed them 3,000 workers working at the destroyed Fukushima plants. Wouldn't you ask yourself, if we're both in the same protective suits, and you tell me I must stay on this bus, and this bus can only stay here for a short period of time, why is it that those workers out there are in the same radiation equipment, no different, and yet they're working all the time? If you go back and you look at how many people who worked at Chernobyl later died, and then look at the people who lived not just within 10 miles of Chernobyl, but within 100 miles of Chernobyl, including as far away as Kiev, died, it was over 1 million people. Officially, it was like 980,000, but unofficially, it was over 1 million. And we were told it was only a few thousand. They didn't want to be embarrassed, so they manipulated the figures. But 5,000 separate studies done in Russian, Slavic, proved otherwise. It is our contention that the cost, and I'm going to deal with this tomorrow on my program, the cost of the actual cleanup from the Fukushima disaster will be about $10 trillion. Originally, I said it was going to be about $800 billion. Now it's about $10 trillion. But more importantly, they haven't even begun to close off the source of the radiation. It's still pouring forth. It's in the water and the aquifers that can never be cleaned up. And that one of those aquifers, which feeds west and another north, goes right into their growing area. That means the water that historically is used to irrigate their crops of rice and other produce is now contaminated forever. Hot spots are showing up all over Tokyo. And even more will show up. And what happened was that the government was refusing to acknowledge the truth that then the government of Japan is pathologically dysfunctional and they are absolutely capable of disinformation. So the citizens got Geiger counters to detect radiation, and everywhere they're going now, they're finding unacceptable levels of radiation. In fact, in a report that we filmed but did not show up yet, it'll be up shortly on my YouTube page, we show a group of citizens homemakers who historically have never protested against the government, saying that our children are playing in this dirt, here samples of dirt, it's highly radioactive. Our children are eating these vegetables, they're highly radioactive. Our children's urine has high levels of radiation. Why aren't you doing anything? And all those officials got up and left. Didn't say a word, just left. Left the room. Could you imagine that happening in the United States? But in Japan, it has a culture of dominance. It's a very strict and rigid patriarchal society where women are given short shrift. But we have the truth. It is my contention that when we finally learn the full truth, 1 or 2 years from now, we will probably see upwards of 20 to 30 million people in Japan over the next 20 years dying of radiation because they were not told how bad it was and they were not protected. They were downplaying everything, and we are doing the same thing in our society. So do not trust anything your government tells you ever about anything. We have a pathologically dysfunctional government. They're sociopaths. So I hope that answers your question. Thanks a lot. And let's go over from, we have from Twitter, opt out replay, ask if you would address the Penn State football sex scandal. I cannot address that until all the facts are in. That means those people charged, those people arrested, those people forced to resign, till we know exactly what they knew, when they knew it, and what they did about it. Only then will we know the extent of each person's guilt or innocence. I also believe that many people rush to judgment prior, and we do this in our society. We've done this so often that I intend to do a whole program on it. In fact, I was talking with my producer last week, Richard Gale. I said, Richard, there's a private investigator. He was the one who got all the information on the O.J. Simpson trial. The hotshot attorneys were the ones who presented it, but this man broke the case. For example, universally, white America moaned. They were angry and depressed and disappointed when O.J. was found innocent. African Americans were universally appreciative of his innocence, not because he alone was found innocent, but it was also recognition of how many African Americans were found guilty who were indeed innocent over the decades, but did not have the resources to defend themselves, and how many then were sentenced to prison or even death row and were innocent. And as the Innocence Project later found out, an awful lot of people ended up in prison who shouldn't have been there. And also, how often did the police engage in suborning perjury and lying regularly, and especially the Los Angeles Police Department? Quite simply, you would have to go to Mexico City to find a more corrupt police department. In any case, I thought this was interesting because time and again people said, well, why aren't you saying anything about OJ? And I said, because I will not say something till all of the evidence is in. The same thing with the McMartins. Remember Andrea Pricer, the woman who's never smiled a day in her life unless she's able to, you know, smack someone in her editorials? Really bitter. And all these other people were absolutely 100% certain that the sexual molestation charges against the McMartin family, the longest trial in California history, the most costly trial in California history, they were absolutely guilty, went on for 6 years, and then they were found completely innocent. Not a single charge was accurate. The public had lied. Children had lied. The social worker who originally started it all, when tapes were finally admitted that had been suppressed, showed that she had coached the little girl who had repeatedly said, or the little child that had repeatedly said, no, nothing, no one, the person not touched them in these places, admitted nothing had happened. But then we see the tape where, well, all the other children said they did, and don't you want to be like all the other children? Yeah. Oh. So that tape of coaching repeatedly a child who said nothing happened, and then the child agrees, and then suddenly every child has been molested, and they've been taken off to demonic camps and flown off into the desert and brought back. All this, a society gone absolutely crazy, a forgotten memory, and suddenly, oh, yeah, I was abused at 3. And even one of the people I knew, who I stopped being friends with because she accused her own father of sexual molestation, And I knew her parents. They were wonderful parents. I said, who told you you were sexually molested at three? My psychologist said that I must have been and that I've repressed it. You believe this person? There's no proof at all that any of this had happened. She destroyed her father and mother, attacked them viciously. Two very distinct people. The father had a stroke and died. I want nothing more to do with that person because of you. If that's the kind of temperament you're capable of, the irrational behavior you're capable of, then first you do this dishonor to those who have been sexually abused. But in America, we are so pathological that the moment something happens, we all have it. We all get this contagion. At the end of it, it was found that all this information was wrong. All the experts were wrong. The people testifying were wrong. And guess who was right? The people who had been accused. But not a single journalist, no one wanted to acknowledge they were innocent because it would have meant they had to apologize. We love to find someone guilty immediately before any legal process. And I believe that before we judge Joe Paterno, we should know all the facts. And then, based upon the facts, and only the facts, should a judgment be made. And shame on Keith Urban for a lot of things. You know, he is the Glenn Beck of the left. But shame on him for using his bully pulpit to demand in the most excoriatingly vile way that he shouldn't stay one extra second, he should be fired, he should be vilified, etc. Well, based upon all the facts, we don't have. So in the O.J. Simpson case, the jury was there every day, but it was an all-black jury. No, it wasn't. And here's the difference. The jury saw all the evidence. The DNA, the blood on the socks of O.J. Simpson, it was planted. How do they know it was planted? Because O.J. voluntarily gave a vial of his blood, and before then, there was no blood on socks. Then there was blood on socks. Ah, but they found out the blood had a preservative in it. Well, normally blood doesn't have a preservative. So how did blood from a person committing a crime end up with preservative? It doesn't. The jury heard this, and then planting evidence. In one video, you can clearly see there is nothing there, and then a video, and then it is there. It was planted repeatedly. Mark Furman and the other cop was found to have perjured themselves. Did anything happen to them? No. But the jury heard it all, and the jury weighed that. The American people didn't hear it all. All they heard is what the pundits were telling them based upon their own prejudice. Now, just imagine someone telling you about weapons of mass destruction from Fox or the New York Times, Judith Miller. Ah, then you believe they're weapons of mass destruction, but they're not. Just like now, we got to go in and we've got to destroy Iran, and here are maps. Well, hold on, Colin Powell tell us there were maps of chemical, movable, biological weapons production, but it wasn't? Yeah. So are we that stupid? Yeah, we are. We are as dumb as bricks and just as vulnerable. And my God, how easily propagandized we are. So I said, let's do a program showing and having this guy on who just very quietly, behind the scenes, collected all the actual data. And then the American public doesn't want to know the truth because it's already made up its mind. So what happens when we make up our mind in spite of the truth that may be contradictory to our beliefs? Are we capable of changing? And the answer is no, we are not. We never have been, and we never will be. This is part of the downfall. It's just like the 99-in-1. 99% of Americans are not involved in greed or misbehavior. It's that damn 1%. You think? You think that 99% of people are giving, loving, caring people, selfless? No, they're not. I can show you an awful lot of greedy, worthless people in that 99% who don't care about jobs in America, who will run out in a heartbeat and buy something on sale at Walmart, even if it costs them one of their own family members' jobs to be exported to China, to buy something from China without a thought of the connection, who will go use a credit card from a company that will take away their house and charge them 30% under normal conditions and 100% late payments and delinquent payments and still continue to do business with them? who won't protest anything but have an opinion about everyone who does? No, your idea of 99% and mine are different. There are good people in that 1%, and there are loathsome people in that 1%. But those 99% are the ones who actually feed and support the 1%. And are you going to also include in that 1% all the people engaged in corruption, pollution, wars? If we had 99% of the people against our military expeditions, we wouldn't have any military-industrial complex bankrupting our society and taking money away from important social projects, would we? Is this the same 99% that votes for Democrats and Republicans alike, both corporatists, as if they're actually doing a good deed? Who are these 99%? No, we can't even get our social agendas right. And even the take back the power of people who are camping out. It's now more about them camping out and getting removed from their little tents than it is a larger issue that they should be addressing. Forget these tents. These tents don't mean a damn thing in the larger context. Look at the actual issues. Are these tents going to stop 11 million children who are going to go to bed hungry and wake up hungry? No. Will they put food in their mouths? No. Will it stop any of the 10.6 million American homes from being foreclosed on that are underwater in the next 4 or 5 years? No. Will it stop interest payments from being high? No. Will it forgive student loans? No. Will it stop compounding interest? No. Will it stop the Federal Reserve from printing another trillions of dollars and giving it away to its favorite hedge funds? No. Will it stop Congress from accepting lobbying fees and laws being written by outside forces? No, it will not. Will it stop wars? No. But there are groups who are addressing each and every one of those. But putting up a tent and fighting for your right to stay in that tent seems to me more important. We have lost focus upon what is important. And that's what happens when you forget to pull back and look at the larger interconnected picture. And that's a shame. I'm Gary Knoll. We're out of time. Let's just say hello to Shanice in Vermont before we say goodbye here. Shanice in Vermont, your turn. You're the last person on.
Okay, hi. I wanted to know if you were going to give a meeting or conference call for people like me who really wanted to be in New York to hear. I'm just in your Homestead Project.
Yes, when I come back to New York.
Okay.
When I'm back in New York, I can do that technically from my studio to anyone and everyone in the world, and that'll be in the middle of January.
Oh, okay.
All right?
All right.
Haven't forgotten about you.
Okay.
Just the technical issues I had to address to a packed house in New York today, but I'll do that on an upcoming program.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Well, we've had an hour together and an empowering hour, hopefully, and I thank you all for taking your time to listen. Tomorrow evening, 7 p.m., Progressive Commentary Hour, the most downloaded radio program in the United States on any show. And tomorrow, gas hydrofracking, why you should not support it, why it cannot be allowed to exist in New York. If it is 77,000 new wells, there won't be a safe place to live in New York State. So join us tomorrow, 7 p.m., for the Progressive Commentary Hour.